Our reading for today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 41. Jesus said, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back when I was in college, I was sitting in the presence of a man who had just come out of alcohol treatment. He had been in a treatment center for probably the 7th or 8th time in his life. And he was going on for quite some time in the conversation about many of the drug addicts that he had met while being in treatment this most recent time. And he was commenting over and over and criticizing and actually making quite a bit of fun out of many of these drug addicts who were so addicted to marijuana that they just couldn't stop using it. It was obvious to the rest of us in the room that here was one who himself was addicted to maybe a different kind of chemical, and yet could find such humor in the same sin in others. Isn't that often the way it is with us, that we can so easily pick out and spot and talk about all the things that other people struggle with and the weaknesses that they have and the sins that they possess, forgetting that maybe others sitting there listening to us are thinking the same of us? It's rather frequent that our Lord Jesus discusses the sin of being judgmental. In his Sermon on the Mount, which in the Gospel of Matthew covers 3 full chapters, nearly one chapter is dedicated to various sins of being judgmental. And quite often, if you think about it, in Jesus' illustrations or parables that he uses, he often depicts the sin of being so judgmental in people in those who are religious, in those who are the morally upright and religious. The Good Samaritan, who doesn't want to help someone who is lower that he despises. The two men that go into the temple to pray. The great religious Pharisee that stands before God so boldly. Even in the parable of the prodigal son, the good son that stays home and does what his dad wants and watches his evil brother who's now penitent that comes back home and looks on him with such disdain. It's interesting that our Lord often uses the religious moral people in these parables to point out the sin of being so judgmental. It is one of the dangers that is naturally inherent with being a Christian. It's a built-in potential problem for us who have been given the gift of faith. Those of us who care about God and care about His Word and care about His commandments and care about morality as we should, as God and His Word clearly directs us to do. But it doesn't take much to twist that inside of my heart and my mind to look out at the world and to think, God, I thank you. I'm not like other people are. A man that used to preach in the chapel here years ago, Dr. Norman Madsen, wrote this: "It is not difficult at all to find people in our society who are living an outward life that is worse than ours. But is that the measuring stick God wants us to be using when we look at our sinful lives?" And so, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we are easy targets for this temptation. The devil likes to exploit the very love of God that we have in us, the very desire that's in us for a life of sanctification, a life that follows what God would want and tries to be moral. The devil likes to take that very thing that's part of our faith and twist it on us and cause us to look out at other people and to try to feel like there's a sense of superiority in how I have lived my life. That moral expectation that we have right on this campus of each other, the moral expectation that each of us has and looks at each other with as far as how we should be living our lives and how we should be talking and the kinds of things that we should be doing, it's very easy for us to kind of wrap ourselves in that flag of righteousness and to forget that the very righteousness that God has wrapped us in really didn't come from us at all, but came only from His Son, the Holy One, that God has now chosen to view us through that robe. Martin Luther had a way of often getting to the heart of things with some pretty pithy comments. He used to say this: "Remember that it was you who filled your diaper on your own mother's lap." It's quite a way to say it, isn't it? Remember, it was you that did that. What irony that those of us as Christians who have benefited so greatly from the mercy and the compassion of God, the God who chose not to judge us according to our weaknesses and sins, but chose instead to take that fierce judgment that was morally right, and instead of putting it on you and me, put it on His own Son. And because of that, has now forgiven us all sin and has chosen to see us as if we had never done a sin wrong in our whole life, as if we are perfectly holy in front of Him. What irony that those of us who have benefited from that wonderful mercy of God should now have to struggle with looking at others with a lack of mercy. Mercy toward each other and mercy toward us is at the very heart of the Christian faith. Compassion, love, forgiveness, generosity toward others, this is who Christ is. It's what His mission was all about for us. And even when He was on the cross being treated so unjustly by people who were clearly morally inferior to Him, He still pleads to God on their behalf, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And God has chosen to establish an entire delivery system of His mercy in heaven so that we could get there someday by bringing that same mercy and compassion to us regularly through our baptism, through the Holy Supper, where we receive constantly the forgiveness of sins from our Lord, the preaching of His word, the office of the ministry that stands and proclaims the forgiveness of all of our sins. This is all mercy-driven from the heart of God, rather than being judgmental toward us, because He has put that judgment instead on Christ. But now it's easy for us to kind of take God's grace for granted. It's easy to kind of forget that that's really how we stand before Him. It's easy also for us sometimes to assume that our lives don't really matter to God, and how we talk about people doesn't really matter to God, because Christ has done it all for us. It's easy for us to slip into what we call cheap grace, to treat God's mercy and forgiveness toward us like a check that we can just keep writing over and over again, no matter how we treat other people. But notice, our Lord's words today are directed not to unbelievers, but to believers, to the members of His own church, to those who claim Him by faith, because He knows we still need to be paying attention to this and not to fall into hypocritical actions. God is paying attention to how we talk about people and how we talk to people. Years ago, I was newly in the ministry, and there was an elderly man that would, wonderful, devout Christian man that would sit in a Saturday morning Bible class with us every Saturday, a group of us, and every once in a while, some subject would come up where we would start talking about somebody else's sin, something in the news or some movie star or athlete or whatever, and it's easy for those conversations to come up. And I remember this old guy, after it went on for a few minutes, would always stop us all by saying, "There but by the grace of God go I." And that was always such a poignant statement for us. St. Augustine said, "The humble soul is the couch where Christ likes to sit. That's a great one. Now, our Lord doesn't want us to avoid helping others who maybe struggle with sins and so on. Jesus doesn't say, pull the beam out of your own eye and walk away. He says, no, first pull the beam out of your own eye, then you will see more clearly to go and help your brother. In this way, when we do go in humility to help our brothers and sisters in Christ to avoid sin and to deal with it in the right way according to God's word, when we do this, we are again reflecting what our Lord has done to us. Mercy is the tenderest and most appreciated quality in a human being, and it is also the quality in God that we treasure the most. And so we, of all people, who have been blessed to know that mercy from God, and who know that our entire hope of getting to heaven depends only on that, are now called upon by our loving Savior to show the same mercy toward others. Amen. Please rise. And we join now in the prayer on page 169. Page 169, the prayer for Wednesday morning. Unto you, O Heavenly Father, I direct my first thoughts and lift up my heart in prayer, that I may live and walk in you alone. Be my fortress this day, as you have been my protection through this night, for which I thank you with my whole heart. Watch this day also over my soul and my members. May I also turn to you in true penitence. Cleanse me from all wickedness and uncleanness. May I walk in your fear in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and trusting in his precious merits, I give myself to you altogether with all that you have bestowed upon me. Bless me in him with whatever pleases you. Grant me wisdom and strength to perform the duties of the calling in which you have placed me. May your holy angels accompany me and mine in all our ways and help us to walk together in love in the narrow path which leads to your heaven. To this end, help us by your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.